Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business.
Hello there, Bill.
James, you know how I have a saying, I always assume I'm not the smartest person in the room.
Right.
Because I like to sit back and I always assume, but today's assumption was quite easy. I hadn't met Justin before he came in for the pre-show today. But man, it just takes a couple of minutes to go, yeah, I'm not the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And we like hanging out with smart people. So this ought to be a really fun podcast.
Absolutely. And this was Justin is a Favob affiliate, and he's a friend of Trish Murphy, and obviously we're friends of Favob. So I want to invite Justin Spears is the CEO of MXI Consulting. You're a tech consulting firm. I can't wait to get into it. We've had a few business coaches on recently, and this is really a great trend that we're having lately where there's so much knowledge that's out there that as a small business owner, we just are really craving for. I always say that people want to be led. Well, business owners don't want to feel stupid, but being able to get insight from a pro like you is absolutely going to help us not feel so stupid. So welcome, Justin.
Thank you so much for the intro there. I guess I got a lot to live up to now.
Absolutely.
We just try to raise the bar first.
Just looking at my shoes.
First rattle out of the box.
Got to talk you up. People got to know who you are. So let's I'm sure some of our audience already knows who you are, honestly. But I really want to kind of dig into where you are now, but the building blocks that where you came from kind of help explain why you're such a pro, what you're doing right now. So why don't you just tell our audience kind of where you came from and some of your background. I know you're a Navy vet and I know you've got a lot of experience. So fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of deconstruct this timeline here. Where I'm at now, the CEO and founder of MXI Consulting, also a managing partner and chief growth officer for M3D Technologies. And then, you know, kind of leading up to that, you know, I really got a lot of experience in the operational world and in the growth world during my time in the Navy. You know, at the height of the recession there, I decided to join. It was a good, smart path to get on, get some good education, and figure out what I wanted to do. Also helped that I had a wife and two kids. So feeding them was
very motivational, isn't it?
Yeah, that helps.
Yes, absolutely. Diapers are expensive. And so, yeah, you know, I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy, aerospace medicine technician was my specialty. And, you know, spent a lot of time in the medical simulation world, training a lot of aviators, working with patients. And, you know, I got this opportunity to get on the operational side of, you know, the organizations there, learning how to restructure, doing lots of process improvements. You hear things, you know, like lean and things like that in the military. So I got all this experience. And then kind of my analytical hat went on and I started seeing areas for process improvement with my own command. So I mapped out a couple different departments, medical logistics, quality control, worked with a couple different contractors on some ERP software rollouts, things like that. And in doing so, it led me to really discover and start learning some of these processes, some of these fundamental things that DoD uses regularly that, you know, we used to see a lot more in the business world, but we see in your government area quite a bit. And so they sent me to some great schools, learned all sorts of different tactics, you know, lean, you know, growth, you know, all sorts of strategy building, what it means to plan, change management. That's one of my favorites. And started to applying them. So next thing I know is, you know, my detachment was part of a bigger unit, the Navy's Medical Operational Training Center. And in doing so, we started rolling out these departments. And we saw a lot of success with it. Got Surgeon General's attention on it, which was great. Got a lot of approvals from him on the work that we were doing. It was absolutely amazing. So, you know, I spent a number of years working on these process improvements, working on rolling out these new departments. And so when I got out, it was, you know, I was like, okay, you know, it was unexpected leave from the military. I was medically retired. And I was like, all right, what are we doing now? I'm not totally sure. But I know I really like this business stuff and I really like helping people to build businesses, restructure businesses, reorg, and even merger and acquisitions. So I wanted to learn more of it. Got a great opportunity to use my GI Bill. When I first got out, went to Simpson University, did my master's in intellectual leadership there.
Nice.
Once I finished that, I actually worked at the university for a while because my thesis was military higher education as a holistic ministry. And so the president of the university saw it. He saw me defend my thesis and goes, I have no idea what this is, but there's so much research. You did so much work with Student Veterans of America and the VFWs and American Legion. I want this in my university. And next thing I know, I'm a director of a veterans center, remodeling the facility, moving, you know, departments around campus. And we did an entire restructuring of the campus to implement this program.
Wow.
Which was amazing. You know, a year into the execution or implementation of this program, we were ranked number 11 university for vets in the nation.
Oh,
and this
wow.
was a university that didn't have any veteran services before.
Yeah, interesting.
So it was really great, very rewarding doing that. While I was doing that, I worked with a local community organization. We launched a K through 12 charter school called Phoenix Charter Academy back in California, about 420-something kids the first year. Still growing, which was great. Got to support their bond program, their growth strategies, did all their strategic planning, loved it quite a bit. Did a lot of lobbying for charter school rights back in California when I was there. So got some exposure into politics there, and then jumped into my MBA program here in Florida, Florida International University. Did that and focused on tech innovation and entrepreneurship, and got to spend you know, a number of years working with some really amazing, incredibly intelligent people with lots of success, learning from them and even throwing ideas of what I want to do in building a consulting firm that specializes in small businesses. Agnostic to industry even. And so I got the, you know, the things I work on today, it's not something that just, you know, kind of came out of thin air or a great idea I found on ChatGPT.
Right.
It's things I've been working on for 15 years and got to hone it together with some really great people that are incredibly intelligent professors, successful business people, things like that. And so once I finished my MBA, moved back to Florida, which is great. This is home state for me. I was born up in Panama City, so
okay.
Glad to be back here here in Orlando. And took a job as a regional executive for a software company doing a big expansion for them. Did that for a number of years. And was still consulting on the side, but, you know, last year, early 23, I was like, you know, I want this to grow to where it's a good firm. I'm working with people, and I'm expanding to the point that I can help other small businesses to scale and scale myself. And so took it full time last year, and I've got some great clients I've been working with. Had, you know, clients I've worked with over the years across the states, across the nation. And so, you know, now it became, okay, you know, let's get published heavy. I got a lot of books that I've published, a lot of diagrams I've published, master's classes I've put together. Things like that. And really, you know, my passion is I want to see everybody that has an idea for a business. I want to work with them so that they can really hone in that idea and make it a tangible and sustainable business product. Whether it's a service or product is irrelevant, but let's make it tangible and sustainable so that it really impacts their families and communities.
Right.
And that leads us to today.
So today. And so, So obviously you have a lean towards the technical world, but you kind of, your principles kind of stream all over all kinds of different industries, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, I know you've built some great processes and some structure. I'm wondering if you give us a peek, you know, behind the curtain a little bit on what some of those are and, you know, what are some of the things that you, you're helping people kind of work through the process. Cause I know a lot of times people start a business and go, hey, I'm a good landscaper. I'm a good drywall guy. I'm going to start a business. And then we just start doing it. You know, I know many great mechanics, but very few of them are great business people,
yeah.
Right? Because they haven't taken the time to go through
and the problem
process.
Becomes, and I've heard you say it many times, James, that you're sort of putting the car together as you're driving it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that can be a challenge.
Yeah. So I'm feel free to unpack some of that. I'd love to kind of learn a little bit about what you kind of walk people through.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually a really good point, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I have been tech heavy because of my background in tech and with tech businesses, but very agnostic. You know, I have a huge background in trades before the military, so worked in a number of trades, have trade apprenticeships as well, carpentry and welding. So, you know, I love that side of the industries. But yeah, it is agnostic, but it's really unique. You know, you gave a great picture there of the mechanic kind of building the car as they go along. You know, in the tech industry, we'll use that for example. A lot of engineers have a great idea for a product, but not a great idea of the business. And so that's where I like to come in and work with them. You know, things that, you know, I've had failures along the years, and it's like, oh, that didn't work. Let's just remove that and not do that again. Or maybe we'll unpack it 5 years, 10 years when there's a different landscape or economy, something like that, to see if it applies better. But really it's going in and working alongside founders, executives with, you know, a systematic process that's customized and tailored to their specific business, helping them understand a lot of concepts of, you know, what does it mean to have a competitor intelligence model? What does it mean to be competitive? There's a lot of things in business. Like I really genuinely have a passion and love for how business works and business philosophies. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that get this great idea and they start businesses, but they don't understand the art of business. They understand the art of a product. And so in working with them, I want to instill in them this art of business, learn how to be competitive, not, you know, in some crazy way. You know, there's really healthy ways to do business. All my successes are done off of teaming and partnerships. There's not a single success I have that I've done myself. And I say that very openly and very bluntly, because to make it in this world and in the world of business, you have to have those partnerships. And then even, you know, I evaluate partnerships, you know, just like you evaluate employees. If we're working together, I'm going to do a performance review on our relationship every quarter. If I'm dumping money into it, there's no ROI or there's no LFI, I learned from investment philosophy. Why am I going to continue to do it? Just because we're buddies? Like, that's great and all, but I'm just not going to do business with you. We'll still play basketball. But right. That's just what it is. So there's a lot of things, you know. So I kind of put together this nine-point roadmap that I call my strategic solutions roadmap. And, you know, it starts off with building out, you know, routine cadences, things like that. So I'm not huge on meetings. I found many ways to increase productivity by reducing meetings and implementing software. So having those strategic touch points in a cadence are really important. So, you know, after that, jumping in and doing regular analyses on a business, learn, you know, what have you done? If this is the first time you're doing a strategic assessment, go back to your founding documents. Where have you been since then? It could be a 20-year-old business. It could be a 2-year-old business. And once you do your assessment, then every 2 years, you should be doing an assessment of your company, full top to bottom, every employee, everything that you've done, every action, every strategy, every initiative. You know, set your visions and goals. Those are really important. And all those things actually align and goes into a program that I built that creates strategic initiatives that are customized to each company. Your strategic initiatives are going to be different than mine, but they need to be relevant to what you're doing, but also through a lens. What's the story we want to tell at the company? Is it we want to grow? Is it when we want to build a new infrastructure so we're sustainable so we can prep for a quarterly growth, say 24 months from now? Are we going into a model where we need, you know, next round of seed funding? We've got a lift we're going after, things like that. Like all of your initiatives are different in phases of businesses as well. And then your action plan, 24 months tops. I talk about this with a lot of people. The idea of a 5-year strategic plan from years ago is gone. It is. The tech industry has, it's really just spread its reach into every industry now. And because of that, because of the evolution of tech, you know, affecting economies and things like that, even we can't see businesses forecasting more than 2 years, 3 years, maybe if you have a far reach from the tech industry. But we're in a tech heavy society anymore. And so the more tech products we introduce into, you know, construction companies, into automotive companies, things like that, like they need to get on 2-year cycles as well. And then, you know, I do a lot of deliverables for all the companies I work with. So I don't want to add a heavy lift to their company. I want to work with them and complement them. So things like, you know, their business assessments, their strategic plan, their initiatives, performance indicators. So there's a lot of that, even the implementation plan of who's doing what, who's overseeing what. So really a lot of what I want to do with these companies is every action that you do, whether you're independent and don't have a board, you're small to medium, you have a board that you're accountable to, you should be accountable in some space. And in doing so, every action of everybody on the team, including yourself, should tie back to why are we doing it? How are we doing it? When are we doing it? And what are we doing? And so that should be tracked at 100% of the time. That's positive management of any business. And, you know, I've seen over the years, especially a lot of the entrepreneurship forums and shows and stuff that I've gone on in different events, we've seen this huge rise over the last, I would say, 6-7 years of entrepreneurship. I mean, it's a very entrepreneurship heavy region, our country even. But we've also seen a major closure of startups. If you see, 90% of startups don't make it past 3 years, but look at how many startups fail at 3 years. That 90% is a little skewed on what it shows. But if you see that it's like 60% of businesses close after 3 years,
well,
and that's up from the 30% we saw over 10 years ago. So, you know, it kind of motivated me to do a deep dive and go, why are these closing? Well, we have a lot of programs out there like, hey, start a business. That's great. But you got to learn how to do business, not just start it. You got to learn how to be competitive. You got to learn to understand markets. You got to learn to understand strategic partnerships even.
Want to become a business owner but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams.
Yeah, so like even a good idea doesn't mean it's going to be a good business.
Right.
Even a good product doesn't mean it's a good business, because multiple successful businesses have multiple successful products. And so making sure that you have the idea that is not just a cool idea. I mean, I get people say, yeah, I'm going to do this. And they kind of look at you like, agree? And you're like, it's a cool idea. Can you make $1 million a year at it? I don't know. Can you make $1 million a year at it for 10 years in a row? I don't know. Right. And that's the startup. We want to make sure that we have the experience and we have our own autonomy as our own bosses. We want to fire the boss. No one wants to work for anybody anymore, you know? And we saw it during COVID, because everyone was laid off and they wanted to blend. So how many small businesses did startups, you know, I'm doing a woodworking business, or I'm crocheting.
There was a record number of businesses started during COVID,
which was great, except that without the background, or without at least someone helping them kind of guide through this knowledge, they will. I didn't realize it was 60% after 3 years.
Right now, I mean, like you were saying, there is, you know, we have a record number of businesses that have started up, pop-up shops, pop-up businesses since COVID. We also have a record number at the three-year mark, which we're in, that are closing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that a lot of your government agencies aren't tracking. It's bad numbers. It's really bad. We're seeing very destructive numbers right now. People learning to build these effective and efficient businesses, you know, they have to be customer centric. They have to be employee centric. The model of a business has changed, you know, especially since COVID. You know, organizational behavior and culture is missed by so many startups nowadays.
Yeah, well, even the tech side, I mean, every business, no matter how hands-on your business is, every business has some sort of tech component now you need to have. Mm-hmm. My landscaper has to have a tech component because of the way he bills, you know, the way he keeps track of the jobs that are coming and going for each week. Everybody needs business. You own a restaurant, there's a tech component to that. Are you going to do online ordering? How are you going to process your payments? How are you going to take care of your employees and keep track of all of your HR stuff? That's all tech-based. And even as a drywall company, we become more of a technology company anymore than we are doing drywall services, because we have to keep track. We have to manage our job flow through technology. Our CRM system's built to make sure that we can keep track of that customer, nothing falls through the cracks, as well as paying your employees and making sure your marketing machine's still up and running. So those are things that it's difficult to kind of think about when you're just starting. When we coach people as we try and get them on board through franchising, and we have to make them aware that this is not just a set it and forget it mentality. Every couple of years, you do have to kind of go back to the drawing board and see, where are we? Because technology has shifted. Processes, I mean, heck, Google shifts, you know, every quarter. They're doing something new. So you better have some sort of insight for that as well. So I didn't really think of it in a 2-year mark. I've always been like, this was long term.
Yeah, it's an interesting take on that.
Even when I interview people, or when I was interviewed back in the day, it's like, well, what's your 5-year goal? It's like, to make a paycheck, you know, because I always
to keep eating and living indoors.
Yeah, it's really changed quite a bit. And, you know, and like you're bringing up Google and you know, different changers in the industries and our economies, these impacts that these huge tech companies have had. We're now at a point, like I said, you know, 2-year model. We don't know what that's going to change with the adoption and the public access of AI yet. It's too early. So that could change even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually had a nice conversation about AI yesterday at lunch. It's like, you know, a lot of people are afraid of it. And the people are just, they're afraid that it's going to take over the world. And we all saw Terminator and we all know that Skynet's going to come down and kill us all. But, you know, being able to say, you know, it's not going anywhere and it's only going to compound and grow faster and faster and faster. We have a buddy of ours who owns an insurance company. And he gets so many phone calls, especially in the state of Florida, because insurance companies are closing and all kinds of things are going wacky, that he couldn't hire the people to answer the phone fast enough, cheap enough. So he found an AI bot, that a company that basically answers the phone and talks and sounds. It's not perfect, but boy, oh boy, if you need to filter out the riffraff, so it helps him. So AI is helping him, even just being able to filter the phone calls on the way in. We don't realize it, but being able to even our phone system, you call up, there's press 1 for this, press 2 for that. There's technology based in there, and it's there for a reason because every time I turn around, the phone's ringing saying, don't you want me to change your car insurance? You know, it's like, no, leave me alone. Boop, press 0. But using AI to benefit your company and not being afraid of it, I think is going to be something that we need to all kind of look at, even for marketing. I mean—
Oh, there's, absolutely. There's tons especially of growth for marketing.
You know, we're always looking at what, I mean, even the use of something as basic as ChatGPT, we all are enamored by ChatGPT now, but the reality is that's really small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. There's so much more, and there's so much more it can do than we're even utilizing it for now. So instead of being afraid of it, I kind of want to learn.
Yeah, well, it's coming whether you're ready or not. You know, that's what we were talking about at lunch yesterday is the Tesla Optimus robot, where they're going to have these things doing everything. They're going to be mowing your yard, building Teslas. They're going to be cleaning your house. They're going to be checking you out at the I mean, whatever it is you need done. Mm. And they're saying sub $20,000 per unit.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's incredible the amount of advancement we're seeing since the public access of OpenAI. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting point that you're talking about there is, you know, I do a lot of, you know, in my consulting, I do consult quite a bit on how we use AI emulation. So how to emulate larger companies. You know, one of the measures of success and growth for especially small businesses are, you know, when do you hit that medium-sized business mark? A lot of times they go off of employee base, not just solely revenue, annual revenue amounts. And so, you know, if they have 50 employees and they want to get to a point of 200 employees, well, doesn't it make logical sense if I act like I have 200 employees and I'm in productive as 200 employees, but I only pay 50 employees, how quickly will I get to 200 human employees? Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of consulting on a program I have called HR.AI of how to build an HR.AI human relations. We're replacing it with hybrid relations now. So every employee has employees. You train bots. You treat them like an actual human employee. It helps companies to emulate larger companies, which if you can do the same work and you can do it more efficiently and cost effectively,
bonus,
you're going to clean up in that industry.
Yeah.
So now there's your growth model. Mm-hmm. And that's where stepping back rather than throwing, you know, in the landscape we're in where everybody's, you know, rapid to go to market, rapid to growth, all these things is you got to step back sometimes and sometimes even for a quarter and plan. You got to build your infrastructure. Build your runway so you can take off, taking off in, you know, the Sahara Desert on a sandy, you know, the runway there is not smooth sailing. And sometimes you're not going to get off the ground. All right. But if you build out a good runway, you have your blocks in place, you know where your targets are, you know what your path is. 9 times out of 10, you can hit it. And you got to be agile along the way, but you're going to hit it. And so that's what I like to do is work with these companies. And yeah, let's do a digital transformation project. Let's map that out. That's going to be a strategic initiative for almost every small business I work with right now. How are you implementing AI? Not just as some software tool, but in an emulation philosophy. How are you doing the same work as the next tier up, the next run up company, but cheaper? That's going to let you get those projects. That's going to let you get that work in that helps you to grow.
Yeah. Hmm. So what I like about your roadmap that you've built is that you actually have, in one of your spots, you have the ability to analyze and pivot. And so talk about that one section just a little bit, if you don't mind. Just kind of like, at what point are we looking at that pivot point, and what's some of the data you're looking at to make those decisions?
Yeah, so that's actually point number 7 in the roadmap here out of our 9 points, and that's the feedback and iteration loop. So what we do is we implement that early, and we implement that with a number of philosophies, lean and strategy, agile. Agile is a big one for me, process improvements. And we're looking at it from a perspective of, one, analysis. So, data is heavy in businesses nowadays. Data is key. It makes all your decisions anymore, right? But what are you doing with that data? So it really is building out a mechanism for like regular review adjustments based on like performance and market feedback. So for some businesses, it's monthly. If they're very early in the startup phase and they're very limited on capital funding, yeah, you're monthly, sometimes bi-monthly or bi-weekly. Most companies, I say quarterly. You should have this quarterly feedback and iterative loop. It allows you to see, hey, here's our strategic plan with initiatives and our sub initiatives. I do a triple tier initiative system. And so, say Johnny is, overseeing, building the new digital transformation project. So he's got websites, he's got SharePoints, he's got software, CRMs, all these digital tools. So he's doing the tech integration for the company now. All right, after a quarter, let's touch base and see how it's working. If it's effective, if we have positive analytical data, okay, what's working and why? What actions were taken this quarter that produces that? How can we keep that going? How can we maybe invest a little bit more in that area? Did that equate to sales? Did that equate to revenue? Did that equate to brand recognition? Things like that. There's a lot of social capital out there as well that's important for small companies. Or is it negative analytical data? Is it in the red? What didn't work? Was there delays? Things like that. Is there a bug that caused, something to be reprogrammed from the manufacturer or the supplier, things like that. It's really important stuff, especially if you're into, tangible products where you have to build out manufacturing pipelines. That's a big one. A lot of companies I work with have physical products. So I introduce them to manufacturers, manufacturing pipelines and support. And so as you're building that out after that quarter, you need to see, is it working well? Let's look at our quality control data. How did the components come out? How did delivery go? What's the customer satisfaction and feedback ratings? Things like that. So it allows for you to remain on the plan, but pivoting very quickly using agile methodologies. And that thought process of, with agile, you want to define a small period of time. So it could be 2 weeks, it could be 3 months. And in that small period of time, you're going to execute to get to a specific iteration of your business or a product or a service, whatever it is. And then you evaluate and decide how you're going to pivot or move forward. And that's where you get into, your feedback and iteration loop, I call it.
So at what point are you recommending somebody kind of go through this process? So if you have a business idea but no business, start with it now, even if it's just one employee of one, or do you want to wait until they're moving just a little bit?
Yeah. So, interesting enough, I've actually... one of the people I've worked with over the years, I met him at a music festival, and he wrote down his business plan on the back of a napkin, bar napkin, and he's doing well, So it's one of those things of there's not really a perfect answer to that. It's because there's a lot of factors. I don't want to come in and say, oh, hey, tie up all your funding into bringing me in to help you because, you still got to make sales. Are you going to be doing an R&D round to build products? What are you selling? What are you building your business off of? Things like that. So that's where, I come in and I do offer a 1-hour initial assessment at no cost to help people understand, hey, you should probably call me in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. But in 6 months, let me give you a couple nuggets for you to work towards. Let me give you a free, a DIY roadmap that you can, kind of get your vision rolling into. And then I'll give them, some of my ebooks, free, published things like that. some different diagrams to help them, you know, build their knowledge base, and even some of my mindset workbooks on, you know, understanding growth and strategy mindsets. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if they do have, so if it does work, that, you know, one, they have the budget to, one, you know, they have a business vision or at least a product in mind, then we can start working together very early on before they even file their business license. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a number of companies that I've worked with that, you know, I've done restructuring. They've had multiple companies. You know, they thought that they had to have one company per product area. So let's do a restructuring and consolidate your business down to one. Let's lean this out real quick. You know, or sometimes you need to build out multiple verticals as their own business entities. If you're going after, you know, entertainment things, or you have specialized licenses in one vertical versus the other, sometimes it's good early on to build that out. So, you know, there's a lot of strategy, even how you structure your business, even how you formulate business models and bylaws, you know, what type of business you file a license for. Are you going to go incorporated? What type of corporation? LLC, nonprofit, for-profit? Like, there's so many things out there. And there's a lot of good advice out there. But I always tell people, be very cautious of free advice, because sometimes it'll suck you in. I always ask people, you know, deliver on the data, what's actually worked, you know. And so when I give people advising on even how they structure their business, I'm thinking tax incentives. I'm thinking tax breaks. I'm thinking, what are Florida's incentives, you know, with Enterprise Florida? Like, are they moving here? I've worked with companies that have moved here from out of state, you know, because they have manufacturing, and it's a lot easier to ship in and out of Florida than it is a lot of other states. Right. You know, we don't have the state tax. There's a lot of incentives. You can get grant money. So there's a lot of it that plays into that as well.
Well, and you've been published a little bit. You've got a lot going on publishing wise. So there's data out there that people can grab. And I know that you've got a resource for us, for our listeners. I'd love to kind of talk about that and what they can get. Even if they're just in this process of doing their own recon, is, you know, what's the next step for them? And, you have a website that you have, and I'll put it in the liner notes as well.
Yeah. I wanted to give away some free stuff to the audience here for listening. Thank everybody for having me on the show and listening as well. I love talking about this stuff. But yeah, if you go to go.mxiconsulting.com/hole-in-the-wall podcast freebie, you'll be able to get your own DIY strategic solutions roadmap. And once you download it, I've thrown in a second freebie in there just for fun. But it's my 10-week exercise-based strategic growth mindset workbook that I published tail end of last year.
Right. So they can kind of, even just kind of before they even get started, start working through this workbook, kind of get their ideas in line, even before they call you or move forward with the process. Because frankly, again, I want to caution people, a great idea doesn't make a great company. Make sure you know what you have before you start going down that road. I don't like to see people waste time and money.
Right.
You know, but I'm also a believer in without risk, there's no reward. So don't be afraid. You got a lot of big words coming out of your mouth, Justin. You got a lot of things that if you're kind of new to this, if you're in your, you know, your early 20s and you're trying to get a grasp on what you want to do with your life, I don't want people to be afraid and to be scared, but just know, don't go into it blindly. Go into it with some insight and some knowledge for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I publish so much. I've got 6 published ebooks right now, and I have 13 in the works, different concepts, different philosophies, different strategies. So if anybody, I mean, if there are words out there or thoughts or philosophies you went over that are new, unsure of, and somebody wants to get in touch with me, go to my website, shoot me an email, solutions@mxiconsulting.com, and I'll share even more books with you. Yeah. I've got books on holistic entrepreneurship, debunking the myth of a 9-to-5 while you're starting a business. Unfair advantage, competitive intelligence, teaching people like really how to do business.
Yeah. I actually might have made a note because I've learned a word of the phrase, because we were talking about ROI, but you also mentioned LFI.
Correct.
And yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't get that. And it was learn from investment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dig that. It's like, okay, so it may not be a dollar, but there definitely is a knowledge investment that was made. That's kind of cool. So if you want to get a hold of you, best way to get a hold of you is through your website?
Yeah, solutions@mxiconsulting.com. You can check out my website, www.mxiconsulting.com.
Wonderful.
Find me on LinkedIn.
Any final words?
I just knew we were going to learn something.
I know. I try to stay as quiet as possible because I just wanted to
just learn. Listen and soak. Yeah. Yes.
We told you, listener, we'd like you to know smart people.
We do like smart people.
Justin, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. Well, thanks for all the work you did. Thank you for your service, all the work you're doing with Favob. And I love the heart that you have. We echo the same thing. Helping small businesses succeed is kind of where we are. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Another great show.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a Hole in the Wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.